Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Oh yeah, tis I. It's Rob Spiewak here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, Friday after Thanksgiving edition. They call it Black Friday, don't you know? I assume you're out shopping for a toaster or something. But if you are hearing my voice, I want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for listening to the best of this week. Thank you for enjoying today's episode of the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. I guess it's presumptuous of me to say enjoying, but I know you are going to enjoy it because we've got lots of great stuff today. Mike and I explain a classic Christmas movie to Oscar. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, a true celebrity comes by the studio. We talk to her. We talk eating. We have an audio vault, but we begin with something that was by request. People often ask me, how did you come up with the Kraft Baby Marshmallow holiday recipe idea? Well, it was birthed quite organically at a restaurant. I believe it was in New York City, and Mike and I were at one end of the table chatting, and we just started making up horrible recipes that we could have ordered that night, and some of them brought up the fact that they used to put recipes on during holiday specials, and they all seemed to feature Kraft Baby Marshmallows. Well, it started out as something very simple, like a hollowed out ham filled with something and then marshmallows on top of it. But they got more and more bizarre. Upon listening back to this one, it is so off the rails. I do not remember writing it, but I do remember that it was back when I was drinking. That might have something to do with it. In any case, this is one of the wildest ones we ever did, and I applaud Mike O'Mara for reading it all the way through brilliantly. Mike makes these things come alive. So since it is the holiday season, let us start with a recipe from Kraft on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's hear those bells.
2016 wasn't a very good year, was it? So much arguing, so much divisiveness, so many deaths, and of course, Westworld. Even though it's that kind of year, the kind of year you can't wait to say goodbye to, why not try to make the best of what's left of it? You can, with a delicious treat from Kraft that will tickle your taste buds as much as it adds to the sights and sounds of this marvelous Yuletide season. It's intern Dan O'Brien's grandmother's famous Flyin' O'Brien Better Cheddar Sweater Fritters. They're so tasty, you won't even remember why you're in the hospital. Start by making a few drunken calls to high school crushes. After they answer, wait silently on the line until they ask you for a name, thanks to caller ID. Yell the name of a favorite sex position, then slam the phone down. Next, sing the second verse of Adesta Fidelis in Latin, please. Then, while wearing mucklucks and lederhosen, steal a length of abandoned clothesline from your neighbor's backyard and use it to restrain the family yak. Coat the yak liberally with Philadelphia brand cream cheese, making sure that no cream cheese enter the yak's eyes, ears, or
Well then.
Gotta be careful.
Next, take 3 sticks of Land O'Lakes butter, unsoftened, and shove it into the yak's eyes, ears, and Cover the yak with a generous dusting of red pepper flakes from the tabletop dispensers of an abandoned pizzeria. Use as much as you like, but don't overdo it, you asshole.
Nice.
Now begin your roux by melting 6 children-sized handfuls of Smithfield brand lard in an inverted Chinese gong suspended over the heat of the smoldering glance of a Cincinnati prostitute. Add to the roux 3 cups of Pillsbury ultra-bleached alt-right flour. And whisk unceasingly with either a whisk, a fork, or an oboe. Season the roux with salt, pepper, and oyster ejaculate.
Oh, boy.
When you begin to smell love in the air, you're nearly ready to move on to the next step. But not yet. First, you must remove the aglets from all of the shoelaces in your house. Note, an aglet is the metal or plastic tube fixed tightly around each end of a shoelace to prevent fraying. Gather all of your aglets in a nearly empty antique prescription bottle, along with 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 dram of Kraft mayonnaise, 1/10 of a liter of hourglass sand, and 1 Skittle. Not an orange one, please.
Nah.
Shake the bottle until the rattling stops and the stigmata begins. Crudely bandage yourself. Then, pour 1 can of crushed tomatoes into a well-seasoned cast iron DVD player and hit play. If no picture appears, hit the menu button and select tomato. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
It's like an acid trip for comedy right here. Open 1 bag of pizza-flavored combo snacks and pour them into an inverted purple velvet star-embroidered wizard's hat. Using your pneumatic drill, drill out all the cheese from their pretzel prisons and shape into a sculpture of noted rock and roller Tom Petty. Pony is loving this, Rob. Here's a hint. Don't forget the teeth. I love Pony's, like, dying in this. Oscar doesn't even know where, what island he's on right now. Put the reserved pretzel cylinders in a food processor and grind into a fine dust. Using the dough hook attachment, check and see if you'd enjoy serving time in prison. How you doing, Oscar?
Oh, I'm just coordinating our next bit.
Rinse the dough hook thoroughly. Hot water, please. Then add to the food processor work bowl. It continues.
Yes.
2 pounds of 4-pound canned hams, a tablespoon and a third of aged aquarium water, 1/3 of a caper, 2 raisins, and 1 9-volt battery. 3 cupcake sprinkles, and a dove. Pulse to combine until the dove stops making that bullshit dove noise. Bird of peace, my ass. How about some peace and quiet? Am I right, ladies? Get your money-saving live dove coupons on the current issue of Piece of Birds Monthly on newsstands now. Tap your keg of camel milk and prepare to dispense. Get 1 impossibly tight form-fitting Christmas sweater from intern Dan O'Brien and stretch it as far as it can go, just like when Dan wears it. It should be nearly transparent. Strain the roux slowly through the sweater, followed by 6 quarts and 1 gallon of the camel milk, making sure to capture all of the Christmas essence from Dan's scratchy woolen sweater. Grate 6/19 of a cup of ultra-sharp, almost tear-inducing cheddar cheese by rhythmically crushing it with your toes. It's okay if a nail sloughs off. Christmas is a time for family. Combine all the ingredients in a leather globe and mix thoroughly by holding it on your lap while you sit on an unbalanced washing machine. Pour all this schlock into a badly restored antique brass birdcage. Garnish with dates, scallions, 3 Pokemons, and a hateful possum. Then cover the top with
Kraft Baby Marshmallows.
Melt the topping with a blowtorch powered by the hate of your community. Plate with an air of entitled indifference and serve with fake crab meat, anti-Semitic beef jerky, candied hot dogs, caramelized chocolate-covered caramel, peppermint olives, barbecued cheesecake, 2 wine bottles filled with Taster's Choice crystals, and an excitable boy named Hector. This is a challenge for me.
I know.
Immediately refrigerate the leftovers, then light the fridge on fire and throw the refrigerator out of a slowly moving Concorde aircraft into an ocean or bay. No lakes, please. Then sit and think about Christmas and all the festive memories you'll never get to have because you're an asshole. Another holiday recipe from Kraft.
Welcome back to the best of the Mike O'Mara Show with your old buddy Rob. Hand-selected, carefully curated clips of retro Mike O'Mara Show excellence. Before we move on, I do want to remind you that it is Black Friday, the heaviest shopping day of the year. And if you don't want to get mixed up in all that nonsense at the malls, people still go to malls, right? Yeah, okay. Go online to TMOSstore.com, your one-stop shop for all the official Mike O'Mara Show merchandise you could ever want. Buy some for yourself. It makes a great gift. All the stuff is hand-selected by us here at the show, and you're going to love all of it. The stickers, the t-shirts, the hoodies. Oh, God, I love a hoodie. Keychains, mugs, anything you want, we've got it because it's all happening at TMOSstore.com. So please check that out and have a wonderful shopping experience. Now, this next bit actually comes from a bonus show, so please excuse all the bleeps. I think you will still enjoy it, though. The topic comes up of Thanksgiving, and we somehow find our way to the movie It's a Wonderful Life, certainly a holiday classic. Oscar has never seen It's a Wonderful Life, so Mike and I take the time to explain the plot to him, and I think he'll probably check it out based on what we told him. Here is It's a Wonderful Life, a la The Mike O'Mara Show on the best of The Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob, would you consider yourself a Thanksgiving dominator?
Dominator? No.
And you always talk about that you do this and you do this
I used to do the Thanksgiving thing, and it's gotten so now we all gather at my Uncle George's house and we all bring something.
And it's not, that's if people want to know, that's George Bailey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big stack of bricks.
Rob goes to George Bailey's. That's right.
He got himself a huge stack of bricks in Centerville.
Oh, nice.
There'll be about 60 of us. There'll be some extended. We'll have three turkeys and a ham. Now
I only got tense one particular Thanksgiving.
And which
when
was
Rob
that?
Looked across. The one where you looked across the table and said, "Why, George, you're worth more dead than alive."
Oh, and also when Uncle Billy lost the deed to the house and we all had to go
what
stand
a stupid
in the cold.
Ass.
Uncle Billy.
We hate Uncle Billy. If you ever watch, by the way, if you watch It's a Wonderful Life the day after the holiday next week,
yes.
Remember that Rob and I cuss Uncle Billy, the stupid stick that loses all the money for the Bedford Falls building and loan.
I have been in a room with my father when Uncle Billy gives the paper to Mr. Potter and it has the money
right.
in it, and my father stands up and says, "God damn it."
Why?
During the greatest
idiot.
Holiday picture of them all.
Why did he lose? How did he lose all
because
the money?
Because Uncle Billy was.
Watch it.
Was that a Ponzi scheme?
Have you watched It's a Wonderful Life?
It was a Ponzi scheme.
No, right. I've never seen it.
It'll be on Channel 4.
I see it once in a while, and I'm like, here we go.
George Bailey has a brother that goes off to war, Jaime Bailey. What's his name? What's the brother's? I bet you don't know the brother's name.
George Bailey.
You don't know it.
George Bailey is Jimmy Stewart.
No, it's George Bailey's, but
Jimmy
who's
Stewart?
The brother that's the war hero that Uncle Billy's all excited about? That's why Uncle Billy is all happy, because he won the Medal of Honor.
It's Clem. Isn't it Clem? Clem Bailey? No, is it Pony?
No, you don't know. You don't know.
It'll come to me. It's Tony,
it's
isn't
killing
it?
You. Not Tony Bailey.
Isn't it Tony Bailey? It's Bill.
No, it's
Bill
Beetle.
Bailey.
It's Beetle. It's Beetle Bailey. Look at Rofo now. Hey, welcome to. Thanks for waking up from your slumber, Rofo. Now just getting to the computer.
He was enjoying
with
the
that.
Show. It's Harry Bailey, Mike.
Harry, you got it.
Yeah, I had to just,
you got it.
I had to work it backwards in my head.
Harry.
Harry Bailey.
Yeah.
So what happens, Oscar, is that Harry Bailey wins the Medal of Honor, and Uncle Billy is charged with going to the bank and making the deposit for the building and loan, which incidentally doesn't make a lot of sense, Rob, because
why?
If it's a bank anyway, a building and loan, why aren't they not just keeping the money there?
They wouldn't have to redeposit it unless he's going to a different branch.
Remember, at that point, I think Potter had bought half interest in it. Remember,
is that
because
right?
He had it almost. Remember, they had almost failed, and Potter was leaning on them really hard.
So Uncle Billy goes.
You really can't go to that movie and start,
breaking down the finances.
Yeah, breaking out the financial practices.
Oh, I can. I can.
I know you can.
So Uncle Billy is charged with taking the deposit to the
it's
big
a check,
bank,
right?
And
it's a stack of cash.
Isn't it $8,000?
I believe it is.
Oh man,
it's $8,000, and he's got it wrapped up in the newspaper. Because that's what stupid people do. It's not in one of those little vinyl pouches.
Yeah.
Because Uncle Billy's a stick, Oscar.
Yeah, and not only
that's
that, not only is he
damn Uncle Billy
a functional idiot, he also lives in a house with a squirrel and a crow, and that is never really emphasized enough.
Right, that he probably has sex with.
Yeah, so he's at home raping the crow, Mike.
That's what he does.
Okay, so why would?
And incidentally, wink, wink. Let's listen to who gave the biggest laugh at that joke. Our friend, our friend with the sugar gliders.
I wonder how
there,
one of them died.
Yeah, he needed needed water and a Band-Aid.
Uncle Billy is in a really, really, really good mood because Harry Bailey won the Medal of Honor and he's coming back from the war, and he's gloating to the evil Mr. Potter, who controls everything. And he comes over and he's got his $8,000 in wrapped up in the newspaper, and because he's stupid, he hands the newspaper to Mr. Potter to show him the fact that Harry Bailey won, and he walks away because Uncle Billy's completely stupid and he almost ruins
everything.
And you should know,
why didn't Mr. Potter,
because he's inherently evil,
he didn't call him on a cell and say, hey,
God, no. Mr. Potter discovers Mr. Potter discovers the money inside the newspaper, and that would be the honorable thing and the decent thing to do, to let
Billy know
what's going on.
I believe actually that is the scene, or at least one of the scenes, where he says shove me up, because he goes back into his office, finds
and he
the
peers
money
out the door.
That's right, and he sees Uncle Billy, and Uncle Billy is also one of those guys that ties strings around his fingers. And did you notice in the movie when they show his hands a lack of hygiene? It looks
horrible.
Uncle Billy
might
have wiping issues.
So the AK.
So
was the AK
he finds
meant
the money.
For...
Wait, let me finish. He finds the money in the newspaper and he opens it up, and there's the $8,000. Then he asks his little assistant to push him up to peer through the door.
Up,
and he looks out into the bank lobby, and of course Uncle Billy is again. Which he just does constantly.
Wow.
He's not doing it, obviously, but he's rubbing himself inside his coat.
Well, the thing is with so many people that are feeble-minded, Mike, he spends most of the movie with an erection.
Yeah.
Like Dopey in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. A lot of people don't know that Dopey was a really chronic writer.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's really, I mean, it's constant.
Is.
It's constant with Uncle Billy.
What happens with the money? Yeah.
Do you really want to know the ending?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, the movie just came out in 1946. So,
right.
They eventually, the townspeople, find out that George is in trouble. And even though.
Oh, you're skipping way ahead. Let me get to the bad part.
Oh, you really want to do? Okay,
don't
go
be
ahead.
A jerk.
Uncle Billy starts to panic because he can't find the money. And he goes back and he has to tell George.
He panics so badly, Mike, that he can no longer sustain his.
Yeah, and he soils himself, and he goes back
and others
to the building and loan. And George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, just beats him almost to within an inch of his
life. Oh, they fought?
Almost beats him clean to death.
Because what they keep at the building and loan is they keep a picture of the father who founded the building and loan, and that's a reminder of where they came from. But he also keeps a sock full of BBs.
Yeah.
And he uses the sweat sock full of BBs to beat the
brothers,
that's
right?
The first thing he
they
does when he's hitting him in the torso. No, he's a distant relative.
You can beat up a distant relative.
Right.
But the thing is, you know the scene in Casino where they break the man's hand? George Bailey does that to Uncle Billy.
Man.
He puts his hand out and he said, okay, which hand do you count the money with? And Uncle Billy goes, I don't know, George. I don't know what's happening. And then George smashes his hand with a hammer and breaking his hand, kills the
crow. No mercy.
You make me pop.
No mercy.
Make me pop your eye out for that piece of shit. Is what he says.
That's right. George Bailey looks at Uncle Billy and says, "You gave the money to Charlie M. You gave the money to Charlie M.
Is that Mr. Potter?
Yeah. George Bailey.
Mr. Potter is back. No one knows that Mr. Potter has the money.
Right.
So Uncle Billy.
So he's like Robert De Niro in this thing.
Very similar. Very similar. At this point, Uncle Billy is incoherent because he's in such agony.
Right.
But George Bailey leaves him in the office. And then when he goes out, suddenly people find out that they have lost the money at the building and loan. And there's a run on the bank because Mr. Potter calls in the fact that they don't have any assets. At this point, isn't George's father dead? So I think
there's a slight hiccup there. The run on the bank was earlier. That was the Great Depression on the day of his wedding. What happened is when George Bailey Bailey found out that they lost all the money, he went to try to cash in his life insurance, and that's mm-hmm. when he walked into, I believe he was in an opium den, and he went right. he went and he found
like
Mr.
in
Potter.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, and he went into a Mr. Potter's opium den, and Mr. Potter's there in his wheelchair, but also a silk robe, oh. and he says, George, you're worth more dead than alive, and right. George goes to kill himself.
Really?
He's
yep.
going to jump
George
off
George wants
a
to kill himself,
oh, I thought,
but
now,
George is
now
inconsolable.
I know you guys are making
and
this
also,
up.
You
George
know,
is totally inconsolable.
Just when a bad day you think it can't get any worse, he goes right. home, it's Christmas Eve, and he goes upstairs to find his wife, Donna Reed, and she's f***ing Bert the cab driver.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is not
really,
the same.
Really,
I'm sorry,
really terrible.
It's Bert the cop and Ernie the cab driver. It's the devil's
yes.
threesome.
I've never heard anything about this.
Well, it's right. implied, because it's an older movie. They don't actually show penetration, but you know right. what's going on.
And then he is so distraught by this that he goes out and he wrecks his car. Crashes his car into a tree, and then he walks to this bridge.
Right.
And as he gets to the bridge, it's starting to snow, and he doesn't have any options, so he decides to throw himself into the river and commit suicide.
Right.
After
oh
he
my
does
God.
This, when he plunges into
just
the
like
river,
Jeff Buckley.
He's rescued by a clown.
That's right.
He is rescued
Whoa.
By
yeah.
who goes, oh, Joseph, Joseph,
honk, honk.
Oh, Joseph. And that's and so Clarence takes him back into this little shed, which I never really understood why they have a shed that's next to a bridge where it's snowing and there's some other guy in there doing God knows what.
I think we know.
Ice fishing?
Yeah.
No, he's not ice fishing.
No ice fishing. Oh. And at this
point, peddling meth, Mike.
Yeah, the clown says, I'm your guardian angel.
Uh-huh.
And that's when. And at that point, you're familiar. We hate to reference De Niro movies again, but you remember the scene where Billy Batts comes back from prison and Joe Pesci comes in. Then George really opens up on Clarence the Clown.
Right.
Mm. And but they don't kill him. They don't kill him. He actually follows him around.
That's
and they
good.
Go to place they go to? I think it's a Tilted Kilt.
Yeah,
that they
it
ended
is the
up,
Tilted Kilt. It's the first one.
It's the
flagship
bar they go
restaurant,
to, right?
The
Tilted Kilt. George goes in there, gets into a fight, goes downtown, gets into another fight, and it goes on
well,
and on.
Well, to
and
be
on.
Fair, Mike, when they were in the Tilted Kilt, George, who had had a couple drinks, couldn't keep his hands to himself and was
right.
all over the slutty waitresses.
Really?
All over.
Happens
yeah.
all
and,
the
well,
time.
I thought he was
he
over
had
that.
To wash his hands.
And that's when the town prostitute, Violet Bick,
oh, yes. finally the happy
in?
Ending. When does the town get together and help out?
Oh, okay, so what happens is they leave the bar with Clarence the Clown,
George.
And George yeah. Bailey, who is just covered in vomit.
Yeah, and is the hooker
very,
still
very
with
drunk.
Them?
What?
Is the hooker still with them, or do they leave Violet
no,
at the bar?
No, she's taking care of the men at the Tilted Kilt.
Oh, that's right, three at a time. That's
There's
her
a
motto.
Line.
I'm trying to remember when it all gets better for George.
I think, Mike, actually, I think that's the end of the movie.
No, you okay. said that the town rallies and helps them.
No, that's the director's cut.
So one of the things, they have a lot of shots. This has you'll like this, Oscar, because it's got a space component, too.
Oh,
I forgot about this
shot. There's an asteroid up there that's kind of, and it's the technology is not there that we have with CGI. The asteroid is kind of it looks like a black screen where they're just pressing kind of a button to make it look like a light.
Right.
Gotcha. That's the asteroid that's hurtling towards Earth. And the asteroids talk, don't they, Rob?
They do. They do, yeah. and they talk right, about how much they hate Earthlings and that they're right. going to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
This yeah. was exciting
I didn't
in a
know
way.
It was a sci-fi.
No, it is way ahead of its time to incorporate
wow.
sci-fi and Christmas.
Interesting.
It's one of the right. first science fiction Christmas movies.
Pretty cool.
And they figure out that the only way they're going to be able to prevent this asteroid is quite a simple and almost inconceivably easy method.
Inconceivable.
They ring a bell.
Wasn't the timeline?
They ring a bell to avoid the asteroid
right,
from
exactly.
plunging into the Earth's
atmosphere. Wait. I thought the timeline. This isn't the only holiday alien movie. I thought the timeline for Earth Girls Are Easy was during the holidays.
No,
but,
don't
well.
Get into
but
another movie.
Is, but this is earlier. This is the first one.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
what they do is that while they're ringing the bells, they're actually able to land a probe on the comet.
Ah.
Which was, this
no
is the
Bruce
best
Willis,
part of the
though,
movie.
He wasn't even born then.
That's
okay.
right.
It wasn't that big a deal. So they save the Earth. Clarence brings George back to his house where, miraculously, the town people have had a yard sale.
They have.
And in the snow, which is very, very rare.
They sold all of George Bailey's back issues of Playboy, and they've
right.
used the money. And this is my favorite part. And this is one of the closing scenes. They go into the living room, and everyone is gathered. You know what they're doing?
What?
They're
Do you have Auld Lang Syne, Rob? Do you have Auld Lang Syne?
I'll bring it up. They're waterboarding okay. Mr. Potter.
Which because is he stole the money?
And the thing, And then, well, he stole a lot of money from a lot of people.
Right.
But they're waterboarding him, and he doesn't have the use of his legs. So it's an even more heinous crime when that happens.
It's horrible.
Now, Violet Bick, meanwhile, has turned many, many tricks over at the Tilted Kilt, and she collects her money, and she brings it back to George's house. Mm. And at that point, all the kids are there. Mm. Wonderful Donna Reed, who plays Jimmy Stewart's wife, who is just Trey Box.
Yeah, and full frontal
is there
in this movie.
She's topless. She's not full frontal. She's wearing an apron. And she's wearing an apron.
I just thought she needed to shave.
Right. And at that point, Harry Bailey comes back from the war, sees Donna Reed, sees that she's topless, grabs a little feely-feely, and looks at George and goes, "You're the richest guy in town."
Honk.
And then Zuzu, who is, I don't understand how that name came up. I think she adopted from perhaps a third world country?
No, she was made in a test tube. At Bedford Falls Laboratories.
Zuzu. I thought she was from North Korea.
She might have been made in a North Korean test tube.
Mm. Kim Jong Zuzu says to her father, "Look, father, teacher says every time a bell rings, an asteroid is prevented from entering the Earth's atmosphere."
Exactly. That's where that comes from.
That
I didn't know that
saying.
Movie. That's where that came from.
That's where it came from.
I thought that was Miracle on 34th Street.
No, it's a different
one. I would recommend. Oh, that's a totally different one. That's you want to talk about a crowd scene.
Mm. Yeah.
That is really, really nasty. Like Swingers 3. But the fact is, that is the story of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And I would urge you to watch this with the rest of the family.
I can't wait.
We might have missed a few parts in there.
I don't think so. I know we got some of the timeline, but I think we corrected it.
Have they brought it to Technicolor life?
They have colorized it.
I think they colorized it at one point.
They did.
But, and then, of course, at the very end, Mr. Potter's lifeless body is dragged with hooks through Bedford Falls, leaving a bloody trail.
They kill him.
Where it remains to this very day, because what a lot of people don't know, it's a true story.
Mm. Yeah, Bedford Falls is actually, well, they changed the name in the movie. Bedford Falls is actually Chappaqua, New York. So... That's exactly what it is. That's if you want to see where that happens. That's a
so Oscar. You know, it's a good rental.
I can't wait.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, you want to snag that if you can.
It's really a tearjerker.
Black Friday Botmas. That's best of the Mike O'Mara show, and it's Rob Spiewak with you. This next guest is a favorite of mine, and I will go ahead and explain our connection. We worked together when I was essentially an extra, but I had a small role on the show Crashing on HBO with Pete Holmes. It allows me to say, oh yes, that's the project I was working on with Judd Apatow. But also, please note that the show was canceled about 20 minutes after my episode aired. So there's that. Anyway, it was my first television acting role, and Jessica Kearson was in the scene with me, and she was so cool to me on set as far as keeping me sort of centered and calm and not losing my mind. She actually became a friend. And when she came by the show, she was hilarious. I adore her. And this is a very good interview because not only is it fun and entertaining, it's a gentle reminder of how screwed up things were with COVID not that long ago. Because she talks about touring and the risks and all the complications that the pandemic brought upon us. So enjoy the laughs, but also a good chance to remember what things were like not that long ago. Here's Jessica Kearson on the best of the Mike O'Mara show.
Jessica Kearson is going to join us right now. We still weren't able to do it.
No, you're right. You're right.
We still weren't able to do it.
We ponied it. We ponied it.
We still. What the? Seriously.
Hi.
What the Jessica, how are you?
What happened just now?
Jessica, Rob, how many years have I been in this business?
Oh God. 40.
Almost 30?
No, more than 30.
Almost 30. Before the show, I say to the guys, I say, I'll get my text out.
Please.
All right.
And then I'll give Jessica a proper introduction.
Yeah,
which
that
was
weird.
Which was it was because we are and have been every support person I have ever worked with has been a moron when it comes to guests. And Jessica, I will give you a proper introduction in a second, but I'm sorry. House cleaning is essential. All right?
I'm because fine this, with it because that was horrific. Right.
This was.
So take as much time as you need. That was the worst thing that ever happened
today,
to me.
At 1:06 p.m.,
yes.
2 hours before we tape.
Correct.
Right.
Please remember to wait for the guest. I like to have my pre-show with just the team, so let's do it like a real show and start the show and then introduce Jessica.
Yes.
Now, I have a question. Is Pony the guy that just walked us to the studio?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. He didn't walk. He leaped. That I have never, ever seen someone walk that fast in my entire life.
Was it a
life.
Gallop?
I have a great idea.
What's yeah. that?
Have the guest ride him here.
I'm just trying to, this is real time.
This is where it screwed up. He made eye contact with me through the producer's window as if to say the guest is ready to go.
Good mic technique, too. That's really good as I'm hearing the mic's wide open, too. Just listening it today. Just really getting to go ahead. Continue.
And so
I'm sorry.
I gave him a nod to say, OK, I know that you're there. And then he flew the door open. Without waiting for you to say, our guest is here, which is the one thing we laid in concrete before we started the show today.
It's also been, 15 months since we've actually had someone outside our world sit down that didn't work here.
Yeah, we've done all of our guests on Zoom, and we're very happy to have
it.
That's great. I mean, and you've got to be doing it too, Jessica, right? Traveling around the country and visiting
the
protocols.
That's why you'd think it's the first time there would be cheese. But anyway...
Yeah. I get fed up.
Oh, geez, I do.
I get a little fed up, but it's I understand. It's been a day.
Yes.
And
it's okay. But I'm here, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Look at her.
You
nice.
Are
great energy.
There. Look, I just the last time we were here, we did some serious the serious business of comedy, and we talked about your amazing documentary, Hysterical. But the stand up you've done. And I think would I be overstating it if I said that your signature move is kind of what I'm doing right now, although you're a lot funnier doing it. I'm having a therapeutic moment right now. You do self-therapy, which I think is the greatest single innovation with stand-up when you will be in the middle of a set that is going, I think, magnificently, and something will trigger you where you turn your back to the audience and you will just do this therapy analysis thing where you something has triggered you. How long have you been doing that?
Years.
So
thank you, Mike. Well, that means that you're smart and you're aware. Because sometimes people don't get it, and when I see their faces like surprised or confused, I die. It actually makes me horny. I love seeing a confused face when I turn around. So to the people that don't know what I'm talking about, I will literally turn my back to the audience and like bend over and have an internal monologue with myself. Like,
it's fantastic.
It doesn't matter that the guy in the front isn't laughing. He's not your father. You're projecting on him. He's probably miserable. He hates himself. Stop eating to deal with the feelings. I'll have a whole... and then a lot of times I'll turn around, and of course there's some people who don't get it. Like, they can't go there because they're dumb. You know what I mean? They have no idea what's going on. And I just look at them and I'm like, I'm so grateful I'm not you. Like, I am so grateful that I am aware in life and I am not you. And, most people get it. And most people say, it's my favorite thing you do. Like, I so get it. I'm always in my head. I always talk to myself. And when I first started doing it, it didn't get laughs because you have to do it at certain times, because when I'm killing and the crowd is dying laughing, I don't turn around and do it because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Okay.
But like if I feel if there's a weird moment during the set, or if I do new stuff, that's been happening a lot because I've been doing a lot of new stuff and it doesn't kill, I'll turn around and be like, you always expect every joke to kill. That's new. It's a new joke. It's not going to do as well as your old stuff. You're unrealistic. You sabotage yourself,
It's so much fun.
And people will scream laughing because it's real.
It's real.
Yeah.
And when you do this, what I did, and this is real. I love these two guys on either side of you.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about that. I truly do. I think
and Matt, you do love Matt. Pony Boy, you love him.
Let's be friends.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, So anyway, I love these two guys on either side of us, and for me, I would say, especially in the last 5 or 6 years with this this vehicle, I didn't think there was anything more intimate than live radio until we started podcasting and doing this. It's just more relaxed and it's just more intense, if that can be true at the same time. So I find this show therapeutic to come in and really, really vent, especially in this world we are living in right now, where I realized last night that I need, I think it was George Carlin who once said he just needs one little thing to go wrong. It might have been some other comedian. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it was in my case, I live in Florida. My son, I have an 8-year-old son who is going to school in Florida. And we are ruled down here, our king in the country of Florida is a maniac king who is fighting against anything that would keep my son safe.
I know.
So counter that with in my area of the kingdom, we have a transmission rate that is off the charts. So I'm one of the people that actually lives in an area like this, and I've handled it. And then yesterday, I lose my wallet. And that was the tipping point. Yeah. And I have been in a funk depression. And is your mother, by the way, is your mother still practicing? Yeah. Is she still a therapist?
Yeah, she's incredible.
Do you have a card for Mike?
She's really, she's unbelievable. I'm not kidding.
I have my own down here.
Okay, good.
She's a healer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she operates out of her house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's comics that see her and she doesn't tell me who they are.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And they have told me, but she's that private where she hasn't even told me. I mean, they've reached out to her because they've just seen her in my stuff or they know of her. But yeah, she's unbelievable.
I've noticed that lately Freddie Roman has been a lot more balanced.
He died.
Oh,
that's why.
Way to go. Way to go.
But
thanks
it was
for
only,
using your
it was fairly recent that Freddie Roman died. He hasn't been dead.
Freddie Roman. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't use Jackie Mason with that one.
That's true.
I mean, my God.
What's Bob Hope has really been doing great.
I want to tell you.
So it's still, look, I'm living a life. You're on the road now. Yeah. And how weird is it with the travel? We were cruising. This was all, you probably set up your dates. With the thought that everything's chugging along, and now here we are. How are you doing? Emotionally, physically, all that?
I was doing well, and now I'm freaked out. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm freaked out. I was just telling Allison, the owner of the Improv, who's absolutely incredible, very good.
Hi, Allison. Oh, I haven't seen her in years. Hello, sweetie. Hi, Allison.
God, is she amazing. And I ask everyone to support the DC Improv. It's just an unbelievable club, and I'm so excited to be here this weekend and come out to the shows and keep going out to the DC Improv. They're so good to me and every comic, and it's such a beautiful club.
It is.
And you know, I told her, like, I just got an email today about something that was canceled in New York in 2 weeks that I had, and it's like the shows have been packed in New York, and you have to be vaccinated to go to a club in New York, and I was shocked that it was canceled, and I was it's weird.
It's weird.
But I have a ton of road gigs coming up, and I'm freaked out about it. Now, I'm not freaked out about traveling. I'm freaked out that it's going to get canceled again, because I'm going to go out of my mind if I have to be home and not be on the road, because I'm used to doing it for 22 years. But I also have this fear. You know, I have a daughter with heart disease who has had 3 open heart surgeries and a stent. Mm-hmm. She's 5 and a half.
Right.
Now this Delta variant, I'm like, oh my God, now what do I do? Like, is this going to keep spreading? Can I go on the road? What? It's just all crazy.
Scary. It is nuts. How are you coping? How are you coping with all this on the road, dealing with all the extra anxiety of this thing?
Just starting. Like that, meaning I feel like this is my first week of going back out on the road of this happening now. I personally can't watch it all the time on the news because I'm not going to be okay. So I have to just kind of hear about it and then just plow ahead and take it, you know, day by day, week by week, and see what happens. Because honestly, the truth is I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if everything's going to close down again. I don't know if maybe it'll be crazy for a little while and then go back to, you know, normal. We don't know. so to get in my head about it and get crazy is not helpful.
There's the therapist in you, Jessica.
I know.
There's the therapist.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that make you feel? Well, I don't think it's healthy for me to talk about it right now.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. That's
projecting,
the truth.
Perhaps in some small way, I'm projecting my own anxiety.
But it's tough because I have a sick kid, and I know that's depressing. But that's real. That's the truth.
For being on the road or interacting with people, was it when we first were able to take our masks off because everyone's, at least within our circle, was getting vaccinated? To see people's faces again was strange.
Like, yeah, it was. I mean, it was great when they're attractive. When they're unattractive, it was very upsetting. There's some of my friends I was really grateful they were wearing a mask because it made it easier to be around them.
It's just they're sitting there. I'm thinking of like a, you know.
I'm like, Joe, could you just put that back on? Because I was enjoying it.
I know a great dentist.
People with halitosis. Yeah. Close talkers or anything worse. Like that. It'd be a good opportunity for a dental prosthetic.
I was enjoying not smelling hot dogs while we were hanging out. But,
Hey, I wanted to ask you about, because I know nothing about it, so I wanted to ask you about the prank call album, The Call Girls.
Yeah.
Do you just make random calls to people? And I'm a big fan of that kind of comedy.
Oh, you're going
to
love this. Yeah, so no, during COVID, my friend Rachel Feinstein, who's an incredible stand-up comedian, she's my sister in this business. We were so depressed during COVID. My father passed away from cancer, not from COVID, in May.
Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, in April, right after COVID started.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry.
And she had a baby, and her husband's a fireman. You know, it was just crazy. We were both so depressed. We're like, let's make prank calls and make a prank album. So for months I'll send you a clip and you can
play it on the show.
Yeah.
We will. Get it,
and
right?
For months we recorded them, you know, video recorded and made this prank album and we call businesses and every call has something to do with COVID. Well, at least we mention it. Some are more than others. Like we called a massage parlor as two old Jewish women and we're like, we'd like a socially distanced massage. And the woman's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, we want to go, but we don't want demand to touch us. And they're like, she's like, you have to be. I'm like, does anyone there have very long arms? 6 feet long.
Did you truly perform for elderly people on the in the Florida area? Have you ever done that?
Oh my God, Mike, are you kidding?
I didn't know.
Hundreds
I don't know.
Of
I don't
times.
Know.
I,
really? She's performing
I
for one
done...
now.
I have done.
That's funny. That's funny. How about we get the guests to come in at the right time, okay? God damn it.
Yeah, pony.
All right.
Oh, give him a carrot.
All right.
I have done. I have done so many of those. I get them all. I just got another one for February. I do them all the time. And I say most of the crowd, you know, they're a good crowd. Most are 80, 90. Some have passed.
In the crowd.
Yeah. Some have already passed. They just sit them there. Like Weekend at Bernie's. They just sit them in the crowd. And sometimes you won't hear a sound. Sometimes you're just a clearing of the throat. You know, someone's alive. Someone is. And they yell out. They heckle, actually. If they don't, this is horrible. What is this? Who hired her? I haven't laughed once. So what's happening?
If you do a lot of these, what jokes play to the 80 and 90-year-olds? What is their forte?
You know, sometimes you have to say old jokes, you know, like what did the waiter say to the group of Jewish women sitting in a restaurant? And they're like, what? And you're like, is anything okay? You know, those jokes go over.
Do you have a repertoire of that kind of? Because
when I'm bombing, when I'm like dying and I want to eat a live pig, I'll take one of those out.
Because they're tried and true.
I'll throw one of those out there just so I can not kill myself after the show.
Oh my God. But isn't it true, being a, you know, the tradition of Catskills as an example?
I just did three of those in the Catskills.
Back in the day, it's not the way it used to be, but back in the day, I mean, traditionally Jewish audiences were you know, a great way to test your stuff
they're
because
great.
They were very difficult audiences.
They're
but
great,
they,
yeah.
But if you hit on something, they're fantastic,
they're
right?
They're amazing. But sometimes mm-hmm. they're too old to laugh, and sometimes they're too rich. Like, I'll say, you're too rich to laugh. You literally have too much money to laugh. You are entitled, you're ungrateful, and you're miserable. You are a right. miserable person, and you should have just gone bowling. Like, you should have done something else than gone to a comedy
you.
Show. You're a miserable.
You're so, yeah.
yeah. I'm like, that's, there's people dying everywhere, and you are a miserable person. You're like, they're the kind of people that call the housekeeper the girl. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The girl's coming. The girl. I'm like, the girl is 65 and owns a home. She's not a girl.
You said it, the word. I love the word. Entitled, you
they're
said that.
And, it makes me sick. Yeah, I can't. That's my least favorite kind of person is an entitled person. I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a line down here, and because really it's not exclusive to the East Coast of Florida, you know, people that come to South Florida and get away from the angry political end of things, which mm-hmm. has exploded down here. There's an article in Vanity Fair, a great article. I wish I had the author's name, about how Florida has transformed. You've got, when you use the word entitled, there's a line I used to use that it was, you know, and somebody did it, it was based in politics. I use it all the time now. If somebody is really going, yeah, I don't understand that, and we could have gone over here too. They usually have warm butter. I don't know why they put the cold butter out there. And I say, you know, the line is, what don't you have? What don't yeah. you have?
Yeah.
And it applies. The anger, it's hard to understand when you're talking about. Because, look, you hear about senior citizens on the national news that you hear about the people that have it in a very rough way where they are struggling. Mm-hmm. And there is tons of it down here. There's tons of elderly poverty down here. There is. And they need help. But I'm talking about a group of people that have been successful. Most of their lives exploiting other people for their own wealth. And then they come down here. That was a little joke, but I guess I
it's
didn't
true, though, because
well.
I'm taking it
hold
seriously.
On, I'm going to pull a Jessica. I was trying to be like our guest. Because I'm needy, too. I'm having a very bad day.
Good job.
I'm sorry.
That's
thank you.
Perfect.
That's it.
Good for
but
you.
But they don't. You wonder sometimes. You're like, why are you that pissed off?
Yeah.
And the only thing, and I'm 62, so I'm getting to that point, and I'm not a jolly guy. I haven't been jolly since 20. No, I haven't been jolly ever in my life.
No, I think, weren't you jolly in college?
I was drunk in college. That doesn't count as
we're
being
very
jolly.
Much alike. You and I have a lot in common. I have never been.
I've never been jolly.
Never. I've never been jolly. Never. I've
jolliness.
Never once felt like if someone said, how are you? I have never once said, great. Like, I've never been great. Ever.
And when you feel, let me see if we're similar this way.
Okay.
And when you have the moments, which you by and large keep to yourself.
Yeah.
And it would be killing on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, really just having an amazing set on stage. You, at least I do, when we have a great show or we're doing a live event and there's something great that happens, I am filled with a little bit of dread.
Of course,
because
I feel sad.
Because something else is going to happen now.
Sad.
So effed up. Oh, God.
I sold out City Winery in New York three nights ago.
Uh-huh.
A standing mm-hmm. ovation. And I feel like I was going to cry. But it wasn't a happy cry. I was like, please sit down. Please stop clapping. I need to find chips. Like, it was so uncomfortable.
It's so bad. It's such a bad way to be. Oh, my God. What's wrong? Has your mother given you any insight over the years?
Oh, my God. Has she ever not? Like, I am. That's why I'm messed up. Like, I'm her
client. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear, like, a paragraph or two of, you know, of your mom's analysis of you.
Oh, God. We got it. One time, you should have my mom on with me. She is so charismatic.
I'd love to.
She's amazing.
Oh, I would love to. And could I steal her for a little me
yes.
time?
Yes. She'll totally do work with you. She's the best.
Mike O'Mara's podcast for one.
She's the best.
Absolutely.
She'll talk to you. We'll Zoom her. She zooms. Zoom her in. Elaine Braff. She's amazing.
So what did she say? What would be her synopsis?
You feel uncomfortable getting compliments. You can't take it in. You need to let yourself take it in and feel good. You don't let it in, Jesse. Like, that's what she would say to me. That I It's time. It's time you let in the good. Like, she would just, you know, I sabotage it. I harm myself. I need to start feeling good. I'm older now. It's enough already. Like, she would just do that whole thing with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you have a good relationship with your mom.
We have a very good relationship.
Is she ever jolly?
My mother is the happiest person you will ever meet in your entire life. She's a Reiki master. She works out every day. She plays pickleball every day. She is in her mid, I'm not going to say her age, but she looks like she's 60.
Wow.
She's hot. She's beautiful. And she's always happy. She taps herself, and like, she does that tapping and eye movement stuff with her clients. She was in Est my whole life. Remember Est?
Yeah.
Oh, she is
that.
Like a hippie, like total what you would picture. Like, remember the Fockers? Like, she and my stepfather ran couples courses out of the house.
Oh, no.
My stepfather was, my stepbrother is Zach Braff. From Scrubs.
Okay, that's right. The wonderful actor.
was a lawyer and then became a quote-unquote therapist with my mother, and they ran couples courses out of the house. It's hysterical.
Oh, wow. what a great world to come from.
It's amazing.
There.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's great to be able to lean on that. But, you know, I had a great mom, too, who was very, very effusive and very supportive. Now, the thing is, the extended family that I come from, you know, you walk into a room, I could be on a secret mission where my life was in danger and I went away for 5 years, and I would walk into a room of my sister and my cousins, and, you know, it would have been in the New York Times on the front page, Mike O'Mara survives most dangerous clandestine meeting. And I would walk into the living room and they would say, "Hello, Michael." That would be the greeting.
Which is not only dismissive, but the fact that you hate being called Michael. So
it's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just that's what did it. Mom, God rest her soul, she's no longer there. I really feel like I'm doing
therapy. Was it your first mother-in-law that said that you should be more like Burt Parks?
So one of my marriages, Jessica, real quickly, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry I'm making it about me. I'm having a day.
I'm glad you're making it about you.
I'm not going to make it. Hold on. It's JessicaKearson.com. It's where were we? I'm sorry, before I
the Burt
I was
Park
talking
story.
About yes. Burt Park. One of my marriages. woman I was married to was followed. Literally followed around by her mother and father. They rented a trailer. They lived in different areas. When I go away on a vacation, they would travel around. They were very close all the time. Yeah.
That's not all the time, but enough.
And we're sitting in the RV one night, the trailer, and we're watching This America. And
I never knew this happened in a mobile vehicle.
This is great.
This is a new layer.
And so Burt Parks finished the singing, and she goes, "Mike, you should do that. He's got a good job." And this is one of my first when I was working programming a radio station in
Burt
the area.
Parks.
It was he's got a good job, but they're not around anymore. So that's it.
And neither is Burt Parks.
Yeah, it was Burt Parks. That's how old I am, too. It's wonderful. All right. Well, listen, Jessica, I sorry about the whole running down the hallway. We did the best we could.
It's okay. I pulled something, but it's fine. I pulled my cat. It's totally fine.
Are there tickets for tonight's show Thursday? I know we streamed this live as well, because I'll definitely go tonight if.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would love you to come to the show tonight.
Fantastic.
Yes,
awesome.
There's shows for all the shows. There's tickets for all the shows. Come out. I appeal to men, women. I do characters. I do all kinds of things. I'll surprise you guys. You don't know what to expect.
You do kill. I can't wait.
Thank you.
You know what I love is she's silly, but silly with an edge.
I'm very edgy.
But I love
silly,
right,
too. Yeah. Yes.
You're wonderful. Sorry for being so angst-ridden, but
no,
I can't help
I
myself.
I love you. You're
it's
so
real.
Good.
God bless
you're
you. God
so
bless
aware.
You. Thank you. I'm going to leave it on that. Nothing like going to break with a compliment. I love that.
Off.
Don't care about the guests. It's all about me. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you, Jessica.
The Black Friday edition of the Mike O'Mara Show. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Did you see me on TV? I was in the parade. Yeah, I was one of the guys handling the Hoda Kotb balloon. It was massive, and I was the front corner. It was so exciting to handle a huge inflated Hoda Kotb. And when we passed Macy's, we nearly hit a streetlight. Oh, my goodness, it was fun. So I hope your holiday was equally as eventful. In any case, let's move on to one of our favorite topics on the Mike O'Mara Show, eating and eating habits. We're still in the Thanksgiving season, so this kind of relates to that. Dig it. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
As we are taping this show,
that sounds
the
delicious
kids are out in the kitchen. Carla is back from working out, and they are making, obviously, bacon. It's coming up. I woke up this morning, and I got on the scale, and I swear to God, I looked at the f***ing number, and I went, how have you done that in 48? How have you accomplished that in 48 hours? And I've always thought it's a frustrating thing for me that what takes months to come off, literally you can sniff it and it comes, but I'm not sniffing it. I was pouring food into my, I gave earlier in the week, I gave you the
full
list
rundown,
of the stuff
the
with all the crap that I put in my body. And I looked on it today. I said, okay, yeah, this is a turning point right here. As my friends at Noom would tell me, this is just getting back on and paying attention. And I knew that based on the eating that I had done yesterday, when I took the kids out to a restaurant and I had the Monday special at the Ale House was a full rack of ribs.
Oh my God!
Which I what do you mean? Oh my God! Well, you've never eaten a full rack of ribs? Come on!
Not when I was trying to lose weight.
No, but you see the thing about
it's not that I fell off the wagon and I was having a problem.
If they're not overly sauced, it's actually not a bad option. It's not a bad option because it's all protein.
He's coming off of one of the worst weekends he's had in months.
But also, Mike, here is a mini pep talk for you. Weight that you gain fast, you can lose fast. Just get back on it. You can do it.
All right.
But well, also, you know, the one thing you got to do.
Before the holiday, too.
You got to choose your moments because you were on my mind last night as I was driving home. I'm thinking, if I was to really spin out, it wouldn't be on chocolate-covered pretzels. It would be something better than that. And I think that you need to weigh your options against what's available. And,
so to speak.
But yeah. I mean, when you have pies and gravies and once a year stuff. That's the stuff. If you're
I'm not talking about the day. I'm talking about leading up to the day where Carla goes out to the Costco and did one of those trips at Costco.
Yes.
The ones we'd all like to do, as I mentioned before, you know, and I ate it. It was stuff that I wanted to eat. By the way, last night, the stuff I had mentioned before, the toffee roasted cashews.
You
got back into those, huh?
No, it's like sex.
Yeah.
It's, it's.
Well, I mean, a cashew is such a perfect nut to begin with. And when you toffee coat it, I can only imagine.
Is there,
But I'm going to try to get back on it.
It's tough during the holiday. It's tough.
As the smell of bacon with 15 people in my house wafts through the door of my studio, and I'm trying to focus on the show, when in fact, the little fat guy lives right down here behind my right ear is going, oh man, I wonder if they're making toast with that.
Toast.
Like that. And I mean, I'm sitting there Eastern time as we're taping right now.
Oh,
it is 21
great.
Minutes before 12 noon.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I have not had, and food has not touched my lips this morning at all. So I've done a bit of the fasting thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how I start. Now, the other thing, water everywhere. That's
gotta
the
do
thing.
It.
Drink
gotta
as
do
much
it.
Water as I possibly can, and perhaps just have one meal today, which makes the fast even more effective, and then maybe get back into a normal thing.
What about, I know that your back is still f***ed up, but can you do a walk?
I might do a bike ride today. A little bike ride.
Anytime you can get that cardio up is good. Now, Mike, there was a story out this week from a news service called SWNS.
Mm-hmm.
That says we, as a nation, America, expects to gain 5.5 pounds from now until January 1st. We
accomplished just, already.
Yeah.
Accomplished.
So
no, I did you're four, above average.
I've gained 6 pounds.
Yeah.
I have gained 6 pounds.
And most people say they're okay with it.
Four days.
And then here are, Mike, 42%
maybe three.
Admit to using the holidays. They use the holidays as an excuse. Here are some ways we go overboard. Tell me if this applies
Please.
To us, okay? Eating more than one dessert after a meal.
Well, what counts for me is the sugary fatty snacks that I dove into. The holiday mix,
yes,
which really is for a fat person. You look at the packaging of this stuff, and you know, is there whoever invented putting the sugary coatings on popcorn? You know, the Cracker Jack people.
Oh yeah,
congratulations. So that's that, and then the combination of the cashews, which are not just nuts, which would be bad in and of themselves. Well, but they put the toffee coating
on
them.
Cashews are okay if you stick to the 14-nut serving, but no one does.
I think
no one does.
It depends on the household. Like, my mom, like a drug dealer, will push everything on you. It doesn't matter if you're dying, if you're, you know, going into some sort of diabetic shock. If you don't
blue
eat
toes.
It,
yes.
You're right. Being disrespectful.
The blue-toed collar, yeah.
It's tough.
Okay. Yesterday, I just f***ed it. Completely.
Got to. Sometimes you have to.
My daughter got in yesterday, took him out to the Ale House. The Monday special was the ribs. So the mind, which, you know, over this part of the brain is the healthy part of the brain. This part is the rationalization part of the brain. So this part of the brain goes, oh, ribs, you can't eat ribs anymore. There he goes, well, it's the Monday special. I sucked that down. Then Carla sent the kids home. Now I'm alone. No supervision, all by myself, no time commitment. My job is to take some product that Carla has at her distribution center and bring it to her office.
Mm-hmm. So you left from the Ale House. You were by yourself.
My son goes off with the two other, with his sisters and the Bows. They're going back to the house, and I'm free, and all I was thinking of, is it a left turn or a right turn that takes me past the Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
By the way, the disaster would have been. I'm still on guard today. Rested today, tomorrow, and the holiday itself.
On
That's
guard.
What I'm doing. Oh, Jesus
yeah, but what
Christ.
What is the wall?
Sucks being fat.
What is the wall?
I know.
Like, for me, there's a level of I know that I have to shut it down, or it's going to be a disaster this holiday because I'm already overweight. Right, so right. It's
you'll have a bigger appetite.
I'll have a bigger problem.
Yeah,
last night. After I went to hit those cashews again, I'm going to tell you, I felt like such. Oh, by the way, dinner was pizza.
What about the rack of ribs?
That was lunch.
That was lunch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God is right. And Jesus. I felt like.
Yeah. Because you've probably been almost free of carbs for a long time, right?
Not carbs as much as just I've been on 2,000 calories a day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is just like, you know, it's like a jailbreak. Like my inner fat has escaped from the penitentiary and he's running through the fields just like with reckless abandon, not really caring. And last night was the first example where I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, the front of my forehead feels like it's going to explode.
Yeah.
It sucked with that said. And then, you know, just eating. The idea when you stay on a low calorie program for a long time. And by the way, that's the way I should eat forever.
Yeah.
When you do that, you become intensely aware when you have a blip of empty calories. And let me give you the greatest example of empty calories. The greatest example you could possibly have is a fast food hamburger. Mm. You can eat it, and it is like you have eaten nothing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because you have put pure crap into your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But I don't know. I was I digress there, Rob. I know you wanted to do something else.
No, I was going
to
say that eating more than one dessert after a meal, 41% of America say they'll do that.
I will do it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah. Yes. I'm debuting a new dessert at my house. One
What's
that? Have you seen on your feed, and I don't know if I'm just targeted for it, an outfit based in New York called Milk Bar?
No.
Heard of it.
It is a really sort of specialty.
They hit me too.
Yeah,
Rob.
I don't know
they
what
hit
they are.
Me too.
I think there's a certain maybe above 250 is when they find you. But yeah, they have something called the Milk Bar Pie, which used to be called the Milk Bar Crack
Pie.
Yeah,
it's very popular.
And I got the recipe for it, and I'll be making that from scratch for the first time.
What is the Milk Bar Pie?
It is basically a salted oatmeal.
Why is your hand on your forehead? Like
because
that?
I don't know. I was just
excited?
Thinking. Yeah, I'm a little excited.
Are you not supposed to be eating this stuff?
I can, as long as I monitor my blood sugar and keep it down, and if I exercise and I'm keeping on my blood sugar.
And it's not like the Milk Bar Pie slice is going to go to his liver.
Yeah,
I don't know enough about diabetes to know
diabetes,
how to handle
it. You got to monitor your blood sugar. Okay. That's a whole different thing. But that's actually been in very good shape. And I've had a couple desserts along the way.
Okay.
And it's been, I'm all doing okay.
Hey, I'm just asking.
But it's, Mike, if
all
you
right,
would,
Debbie Downer, back to the milk bar pie.
But Mike, this, I mean, this is, you want to talk about
friend.
True fat guy behavior? I started planning for this 3 weeks ago. I had to order ingredients online. I am.
Just tell me what the pie is. Come on.
It's a salted oatmeal cookie crust with a rich vanilla custard filling baked while it's still a little wobbly. Frozen, then thawed, then served, dusted with powdered sugar.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's a custard pie.
It's a custard pie, looks but it is amazing looking. And it 8 egg yolks, I believe, are in it. And it's going to be, I'll make 2 of them, and we shall see what happens. I'll report back.
Elizabeth is making also, along with the turkey, a honey pumpkin pie. That's got a honey thing in the
in the
recipe. And
does she do a crust from scratch, or does she?
She's doing a crust from scratch.
Wow, yeah. I'm jealous. Yeah. I've never. Yeah, we got. This will be the first time I've done that.
Good eating.
Oh my god! Here. One of these cakes from the actual milk bar is $62 before anything else goes down.
Yeah,
and that's for a 6-inch. A 10-inch is $140.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, size matters.
That's it. Depends on what you're doing with the cake, Oscar.
Pete Davidson.
Yes, BDE. By the way, they're there. You know, just a little tip in. Saw some video of them. They are a thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's done it again. The pattern has repeated itself.
He wins. He's truly going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And as they, and the absolutely. Lady of the
he'll be having no I'm not sure I can why yeah, not good. he'll be eating lots of pie.
Yes he will
Mike, or maybe he doesn't do
if
that.
He doesn't, it's a shame.
As the as the players on the Bruins said, is she seems like a cool girl.
That's fantastic. Yes, all right.
Eating the same meal more than once a day.
Like, that's another way people gain.
Yeah. Yep, 35%
like
said
a
yes.
Full turkey dinner again,
and then going at and then hitting it again.
Let's go back.
So some would say having a rack of ribs at lunch followed by pizza and a McDonald's multiple pieces of pizza and a McDonald's hamburger with French fries at dinner followed by
doesn't count because it's
don't
not,
look at me. You've been there. You've this, eaten like this.
This
do not.
Very,
I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you.
No,
I know.
Mike,
he
I was going to say, Mike, it doesn't count because it's not the same meal. This is the same meal.
How did
meal.
You stack McDonald's onto a pizza?
Wow,
Carla. Said, shut what up, do you pony. Want me to pick up? I said, do you want to take the kids out to Texas Roadhouse?
Yes.
By the way, we're a classy family. And I said, no, we went out for lunch.
Yeah.
Let's just pick something up. I said, not her. I said, why don't you pick up some pizzas from Marsala?
Yeah.
Knowing full well that has nothing to do with anyone else in the home other than me. Yes. And I'm the one that likes that pizza from Marsala. Well, apparently there was a run, shocker, in the land of the entitled old person. They didn't have any that were ready, and she didn't want to wait the 40 minutes to get the pizza. So she stopped by Mickey D's and picked up some little, regular cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Sure.
And I didn't ignore that either. It was an eat fest last night in here.
Eating, Mike.
I'm not proud of myself.
35% of Americans say that around the holidays they will eat more than 3 meals in a day.
Yes. So,
I'm going that today and tomorrow. I am going to try to break that pattern, and then I'm going to try to break it on Thanksgiving as well. I'm going to try to break that pattern.
Just
I'm
one
try
meal.
To behave myself. Maybe not one meal.
You
but,
need to
but
do something super. To make sure that your metabolism stays up.
I don't like the. I am trying to psych myself up into the fact that I don't care for that feeling after Thanksgiving dinner. I don't like it. Most people don't like it. You love stuffing it in there, but nobody likes that carby, heavy, saucy feeling afterwards.
I love it.
There you go.
Help me
with your milk bone pie or whatever.
Milk bar, not milk bone.
Milk bone.
26% of Americans say they will have during the holidays bigger late night snacks.
Yeah, well, that's huge.
Of course,
because you go for the. I like Darren McGavin in Christmas Story. If I had a little gravy and just the bird,
yes,
I would be. Perfectly content.
Makes sense.
I know a lot of people like all the sides. Mm-hmm. The flavor of a roasted turkey, a real roasted turkey. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Just roast the thing, send me to bed and just throw it on my stomach.
What a day.
And give me a knife and fork. And let me just tear into it.
17% of Americans will eat until they feel sick or unwell.
Okay. All right. Well, that is... Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I would call it sick, but I would feel not comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how I would describe it.
Fair.
All right. I like this one.
Not comfortable.
18% of America admit that during the holidays, they hide their favorite treats to save for later.
I'm in that category. I've done that. And by the way, living with what I call her, the squirrel, Carla, where there'll be a particular confection that she occasionally enjoys a cheat with, she will hide that. There's been in this house hidden for years where I'll look behind and I'll stumble upon it trying to make something. Like, oh, look at the, are those, is that the large size peanut M&Ms? Hello. And
that planter, that tree is growing out of raisinettes.
I have to get a handle.
And Mike, I hold in my hand the final greatest fat guy statistic of them all. 19% of America, and I've not even done this. I would do it if I had, I'd say it. 19% of America says they have deliberately worn stretchy clothes to accommodate overeating.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. What I do, I take my pants and underwear off and I wrap a blanket around me.
The best of O'Mara.
The day after Thanksgiving. So these are your Mike O'Mara Show leftovers. Make them into a sandwich. Actually, I will say this, all of these segments, hand selected and carefully curated by your old buddy Rob right here. That's why I'm hosting them. And I hope you enjoyed this week of Best Of. I had a blast putting it together. So thank you, folks. We do love you all. How do we end every show? With an audio vault. So let's do it. In this one, we talk about Van Halen, Parrots, Stranger Things, Kanye, and of course, what paid for my house? That's right, fart jokes. Right here on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Open it.
Mike, remember yesterday's show? Do you remember that show when...
I remember it.
There was the thing from, I think it was a San Francisco TV station that aired the S word twice, and immediately the anchor said, oh, we're very sorry if you happen to hear that profanity.
Yes.
That's absolutely one way to handle profanity on the air. Another good way is to just laugh it off and keep saying that it was bound to happen. Let's go to ESPN's Michael Smith on the show First Take.
That's insane to me. Are you impressed by this?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, what he's talking about is pretty great. If you've ever seen the Vine video, a Penn State lineman tackles a tree.
Okay.
Literally tackles a tree. It's fantastic.
Like, okay, why would I not be impressed by it? My man tackled a tree.
See, that right there is why guys do stupid
Oh.
It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen. I'll see y'all next week.
He walks off.
Yeah, they go to spots.
Oh my!
Hey, Nikki, let me know how fast that ends up on YouTube.
Oh,
and Instagram and Twitter.
So what you got to do is watch this guy say the S word, but then watch the guy tackle the tree. Both great videos.
I think that anybody that's going to throw rocks at this guy has to be mindful of the fact that they should never ever cuss in front of their children. And let's get a line of people that have never done that. Say you got a 10-year-old kid, and let's find the kid that has never had their folks cuss in front of him by accident, okay?
Oh, you know what I love? When I do it now, Robert says, language. It's fantastic.
I love that.
So great. A couple weeks ago when they announced that they were touring and they put out that Live Japan album, Sammy Hagar said David Lee Roth sucks, essentially.
Yeah.
And now they asked David Lee Roth about that when he was on the red carpet. Is it called the red carpet after an award show?
Still red carpet.
Okay, so he's on the red carpet and they say that when he tours with Van Halen, are they going to sing any songs from Van Hagar?
There's a credibility issue there. Good, bad, or in the middle, you know Roth means it. The other guy doesn't. And that's why it sold half as well. Literally, Midas, Bible, half. Never did better than half. And why would you bring that into the proceedings? This hamburger don't need no helper.
Exactly, Mike. This hamburger don't need no helper.
That's why his morning show failed.
That's
why it failed.
Hey, you know what? Just like all of us. He's fired by CBS.
Yeah, but I remember I turned on a show and I said, okay, what's this going to be like? And it was like that. It was just riddles and rhymes. And I said, where is this show?
Yeah, where's
this
something?
This hamburger don't need no helper.
Hey, literally
I will give him credit, though. I saw him on the Billboard, the opening of the Billboard Music Awards. He has changed the look. You remember the one we saw in Philadelphia, Rob, where he had the spandex and he looked ridiculous?
ridiculous.
Yeah, he's sort of modernized it, yeah.
He's gone AC/DC, and yeah. Those guys have been around for 70 years because they keep that little, you know, wear some tweed and some leather and some vests, and you can get away with
when
that.
When you listen to Van Halen on the awards, though, didn't it sound like most of the stuff was being played by a guy with a record player backstage?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of overdubbing.
And
you get the same
honest,
feeling when you watch Charlie Watts drum for the Stones. Like, he's not really doing that.
So he's got a machine back there that's doing it. But I will tell you that performing live, Sammy Hagar still does a better job live.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and I just, there are people that love early Van Halen and people that love Van Hagar at the same time. Stop it, please. Maybe they're trying to do
Can't we all just get along, Mike?
That's what I say on Facebook.
There is a comedy group called the Shunky Brothers. They're from Australia. And one of them is named Loz Shunky, L-O-Z, or maybe Lowe's. And
Loz Shunky,
yeah,
that's the guy's
name? He's Australian. He recorded a fart. And he realized that if he slowed the fart down just a bit, it was a major seventh in B flat with a trill. And so here is what he has done. He gives you the fart and then plays it on musical instruments. I find it beautiful. I get the quote right. Sorry about that, Loz. I think the quote was, and it all came out of my arse. So there you go. Every now and then when you're gathering audio, you hear tape of someone that you want to meet. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, but I really want to meet John Jones Jr. of Atlanta. He is a truck driver. He's been out of work for over a year, and he was fighting with his wife, and he got mad, and he was bored. So he decided to drive his truck through his house.
Here's the deal.
Police were called, but there's no law against it, so they couldn't do anything. So they interviewed him after the fact. Don't you want to meet this guy?
I don't know. It's just one of them spur of the moment crazy things. Been out of work for past year and a half. Needed some work. Why not? It don't pay, but hey, kept me busy. And then the police come out here. I told them I needed air conditioning. They said open the window. Told me it wasn't enough, as you can see. It had a nice breeze. The cop, he jinxed me. He said, man, I can't believe you didn't pop no tires. Next morning, it was leaking. I'm just saying, don't dare me because I will do it.
Yeah. Chances are, Mike, he lives on Peach Street. But that is John Jones Jr. of Atlanta.
Wow.
Now, we've talked a lot about animal tapes on this show. I know you love goats.
Yes, I love goats.
I tape them, but I really am still scared and put off by parrots.
Okay.
And this is a video. It's on our Facebook page and our YouTube page.
You'd hate it down here because
well, a lot of parrots.
Anywhere you go with kids attractions, they've got parrots everywhere. Parrots, well, cockatoos, cockatiels, everything.
This is a very upsetting video. A boy looks to be maybe 9 or 10, has a small parrot on his shoulder. And the parrot pulls a tooth from the kid's mouth.
Ew,
like loose
on purpose?
Tooth. Yeah. And the kid wrote on YouTube, he says, it's the fifth time he's done it.
I can't watch that. Is he getting it?
Mm-hmm.
Anson, I can't watch that. That's gross.
I gotta see this.
Okay, no. Okay, no.
That's disgusting.
Kids got stones. That's funny as
well. And you know what? The teeth, you know, you wouldn't think that the parrot would have the strength to do it, but you have to realize the meth weakens the teeth.
Wow.
And it is the season of dads and grads. And you know who gave a commencement speech was George W. Bush.
It is graduation season. At a commencement speech over the weekend, George W. Bush told college grads that even C students can become president.
That was his message. Even C students.
Yeah. It was an inspiring speech entitled Try Kinda Hard and Have the Right Dad.
The Mike O'Mara Show. T-M-O-S.
Now, Mike, you have your daughters in town for a couple more days. This is the time I implore you, you're looking for stuff to watch on TV, watch Stranger Things.
Yes.
They will love it. with
I'm going
them.
To bed early. I'm going to bed early. We're doing stuff during the day, and we're going to have an early dinner, and then we're kind of turning in. And I'm
watch
I'm
one
my
episode.
Book.
Watch one episode, with and you'll them. Be in. Because
Sebastian Younger book.
That's this is not necessarily a spoiler alert, but I will say it could spoil something okay. for somebody. This is by a rap artist named Dr. Chorizo, which is a Spanish sausage.
Dr. Yep. Sausage.
Yeah, and it's called R.I.P. Barb, and it's a song.
That is effing hilarious.
It's a song that the sample is actually the theme to Stranger Things.
Jonathan Will's brother, that on one. Photographing Nancy by the pool. That Steve's dude, you know the rules. Besides, I only got eyes for one chick. Barb looking sexy in those glasses and she's thick. I'm trying to hit.
R.I.P. Rest in peace, Barb. I'm sorry that monster rolled up on you so hard. Rest in peace, Barb.
So check
people
that
are
out.
Genius. And Mike, once you watch,
you will love that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No, right. Yeah.
It's a great, great show. You know,
the fact that I haven't seen it would be the reason that I thoroughly did not enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of people who liked right. it. I promise
you
that.
All right, very good.
Here's one you might enjoy.
We can hit 30%. I'm a happy man.
I think this is a really bad name for a pop record, but Britney Spears is still making music. Here's a sneak preview of her new song, but a bad name. It's called Clumsy. If you told me 10 years ago she'd still be putting out records that sounded decent, I'd say you're crazy. Mm. But so keep an eye on her. She's likely to have a hit in the next few weeks. This next thing, Mike, you're going to love. It is a new series. I'm just moving ahead. This new thing is a series on YouTube, and it's called Hikea. It's H-I-G-H-K-E-A. And what they do is they get people that have been on drugs to try to assemble IKEA furniture. Okay?
Funny.
It's called Hikea. Here's a couple on acid. And it's a male
wow.
and a woman, and they're putting together a dresser.
I've probably done acid like a handful of times, like I think five times. Yeah.
This will be my first time. I have never done acid before. Today, we're taking acid and building furniture from IKEA. We have to take off the box.
We're
going
to just have to go barbarian on this. We have our instructions. Good color choice, guys, on the furniture. Step one, here we have inventory.
Wait, are we missing pieces?
No, because it's all in the back still.
I'm getting so distracted. Right, do you have another screwdriver?
You're on your own, Nikki.
Oh, wait, here's one.
Right there. So it's a huge dresser.
There's no way. I'm done with this.
I'm sorry, guys.
I will never build furniture on acid again.
I will go to a park or like go to a concert.
What you need to do is see at the end when they're just looking at it, and he goes, "That's a huge dresser."
Wow! How do they get away with it? To be honest with you,
I guess it's just the people that are after the fact. You know, it's you got to catch them.
Where do you see it? Where do you see it?
You see it on YouTube. Just search
IKEA. Oh, it's
Hikea.
A YouTube video.
Yeah. Hikea, okay. And
wow,
it's
scary. Actually,
interesting concept.
Now,
you know, it's so funny from my upbringing as a child when they I guess they had a pretty concerted effort to talk about acid. During my era, and they talked about, I will never forget about the guy. Yeah, one guy dropped acid and tried to peel himself like he was an orange.
Yeah. They use that story. They use that story in my health class. Yeah.
I hear acid and I go, that's scary.
No.
Show me a guy on a, high or drunk or stuff like that. Acid is just like, okay, did they try to kill each other?
Yeah, but I remember, I think acid was the one they were most successful with making horrifying. They told about the stuff that was sort of
bad
health,
trip. Yes, a bad trip.
Fall into a keyhole.
Cook hot dogs.
Yeah, that's why, Mike, I only smoke reefer.
Very good.
And
Mom.
A
very
lot
great.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Chicago's Superstation, WGN, obviously they are not an affiliated with the NBC network or any major network, and they've got a sports guy there. His name is Pat Tomasulo. And he's pissed about the rules NBC has put on the amount of footage they can air from the Olympics. And he went out on a pretty epic rave on their show complaining about NBC being jerks.
So I know you were watching the Olympics. Let me just say once again, okay? Yeah. It's not the actual sports of the Olympics I don't like. It's NBC's restrictions on the TV rights and anything Olympic related. You guys showed video. I can't even show any now. Just to give you a quick summary, again, we're allowed to show 2 full minutes. minutes of video for our entire six-hour show. 2 minutes. There's to be a three-hour gap between programs we show it on, so the midday show gets nothing now. They get screwed. Every second video has to have text that says courtesy of NBC Universal. We're not even allowed to use the Olympic theme song this year. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And we can't even incorporate the Olympic rings in any of our unique graphics. We have to show the whole thing or not at all. So I thought, you know what? Today, I'm not even going to report on the Olympics.
Good.
What he did,
that's awesome.
He read the Olympic scores and stuff, but he showed footage of high school wrestling, high school swimming and everything, and then played a rap song behind it instead of the Olympic music. But you know what? No one comes out and really spells out what the locals have to do to get their footage, and that's amazing. Two minutes every 3 hours?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the dollars here. You're talking about the big bucks and how scared they are. There he goes, those, justifying
that's
it.
The logic.
There he is. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Spent $1 billion.
I appreciate that, Mr. Icon, but you know, you got to realize that you know, I'm siding with the little man here. Thank you very much.
Let's close,
really,
Mike.
What a big bowl of crap the Olympics is, anyway.
You're right. Let us close with something that is more spiritually uplifting. Very talented musician. His name is Kanye West. And here are some of the greatest non-musical moments from his records, okay? We've isolated them so you can really focus on his brilliance. I say, take a lesson, Paul McCartney. That's talent.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.